Hello, my name is Greg Kimmerer. I'm an undergraduate student at Emory University, and I work in the lab of Leela Reeder in the Department of Biology. And my presentation today is going to be about initiating and maintaining the Drosophila histone locus body. So our lab overall focuses on histone gene regulation. And histone genes, like most other genes in animals, start out development transcriptionally silent, and they have to go through a series of changes to chromatin in order to become activated. And my research question is whether the factors responsible for activation of transcription early in development are also necessary for maintenance of transcription later in development. And we are looking into this question at the histone locus, which in Drosophila is laid out as shown in figure 1, where the five types of replication-dependent histone genes are arranged in an array. And this 5 kilobase segment is repeated 107 times back-to-back at a single locus on chromosome 2. And this locus is the target of a nuclear body known as the histone locus body, or HLB. And nuclear bodies are membraneless structures that form in the nucleus, and they perform a variety of regulatory functions. And some of these nuclear bodies have to form at a particular genomic location to execute their role, such as the nucleolus, which has to form at ribosomal DNA, or the HLB, which has to form at histone genes. However, fruit flies don't start out development with these nuclear bodies already in place, and instead they have to be initiated early on at the correct location. And our lab focuses on the question of what signals allow the HLB to specifically form at histone genes. And this question has been addressed using a transgenic approach, using a single histone repeat that can form a small ectopic HLB, as shown in figure 1. And this approach has shown that the important DNA signal for HLB initiation is located in the H3H4 bidirectional promoter. And within the promoter, there are GA repeats that are the target of a transcription factor called clamp. And if a transgene is inserted that lacks these GA repeats, HLB initiation is impeded. And what my research project seeks to address is whether this HLB initiation signal is also an HLB maintenance signal. And to answer this question, we've cloned a new transgene that can be seen in figure 2, which consists of two histone repeats with FRT sites inserted into the H3H4 promoters. And when we activate the FLIP recombinase enzyme by heat shocking, the enzyme will find the FRT sites and cut out all the intervening sequences, which includes both sets of GA repeats. And this will also remove the GFP reporter gene. So this system allows us to wait for HLB formation at the transgene in the early embryo, and then use FLIP recombinase to remove GA repeats and determine whether the HLB can be maintained in their absence. In addition to the experimental transgene, we cloned a control transgene that can be seen in figure 3, and the only difference between the control and the experimental is that in the control, the GA repeats are outside of the FRT sites, so FLIP will leave the GA repeats intact in the control. And we've confirmed that both transgenes are capable of forming ectopic HLBs, which can be seen in the chromosome images in figure 4. We also have confirmed that GFP was inserted correctly. However, figure 5 shows that GFP expression, GFP protein expression is undetectable. So instead, we're going to have to use RNA-FISH to visualize GFP expression. And we can use this because a low level of expression will tag the GFP gene with FISH probes. And so it'll provide a readout for presence or absence of the GA repeats in each individual cell. On the heat shocking side of things, we're using Bloomington Stock 1813, which contains a useful system that we used to determine FLIP recombination efficiency. And so the results of this test are shown in figure 6, and it showed that heat shocking can result in a mixed population of cells where some undergo recombination and others do not. And this is useful for our experiment because when we heat shock, we want some cells to undergo recombination and other cells to keep their GA repeats intact so that we can compare adjacent cells and determine which ones are able to maintain their HLBs. The final experiment will be to heat shock in the embryo and then in the larva perform RNA-FISH as a readout for presence or absence of GFP in the GA repeats and simultaneously stain for HLB components. And that will allow us to see whether cells that lose their GA repeats also lose their HLBs. And the two possibilities of this final experiment are shown in figure 7. Possibility 1 shows GA repeats that are necessary for maintenance, whereas possibility 2 shows that they would not be necessary. And the green cells in the figure are cells that are positive for GFP and therefore still contain the GA repeats. So if cells that lose GFP also lose the ectopic HLB, we will know that GA repeats are necessary for maintenance. Thank you for listening, and I will be participating in a live Q&A session on Tuesday, April 28th from noon to 12:30. Hope to see you there.